Genesis chapter 9. You remember last week I told you that I thought that I knew this story well enough, but when I reread it and studied it, I realized that I did not know this particular story I'm going to deal with tonight the way I thought I knew it. Okay? God's Word is God's Word. Amen? It's right. It does not need a rearrangement. Does not need a retranslation. Does not need any help from me. I need help from it. If I want to understand something, I don't need to rewrite the Bible. I need to let the Bible write my understanding for me. And so anyway, I'm going to deal with some issues that are historic in nature, but present to us in the time that we live in, and we'll see future ramifications of them. Genesis chapter 9 is the story that deals with what happens after the flood. Now, God has blessed the animals, and God has blessed Noah and his family to be fruitful and multiply. He's given them the beginnings of his laws as they step foot off the ark, and that is that they are to respect life. And I would say, I don't know if I said this last week, but I'll say it this week again, that includes unborn life. Can I hear God's people say amen? One of the things about this health care bill is that even though the president signed an executive order saying this would never be used to use taxpayer money to fund abortion, an executive order can be rescinded by the executive, the one who wrote it, which is the president. It is not a legal binding law in the sense that it doesn't take an act of Congress to change it. And I am telling you that the agenda behind the health care bill is to do several things, but one in particular is to make sure that any woman in this country or any teenage girl in this country who wants to murder her baby can do so free of charge and you pay for it. And I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, not in the least bit. But I will tell you, now, I have to pay taxes in this country, okay? But I will tell you that the ones who are shedding that innocent blood, God's Word is not going to be mocked. Amen? And it's not going to be us that's going to go after them and get them and say, you killed a baby. God said I could kill you. No, he didn't. There's a process, okay? But I will tell you that the cry of innocent blood, just like in the days of Abel, in Genesis chapter 4, the ground, the blood, the voice of Abel's blood crieth from the ground. And I'm telling you that the blood of those innocent children is crying right now unto a God who is hearing their voice, and his word will be honored. Do you agree with me? Say amen. Then last week we talked about the covenant that God made in the sign of the covenant, that rainbow, that beautiful bow. I was kind of hoping for a thunderstorm this afternoon. Amen? We didn't get one here. Okay? I don't know if maybe some other people, we didn't get really get one here. It rained a little bit, but I didn't really do a whole lot. I remember one time we was sitting around here. I think it was Sunday afternoon or something like that. You remember that, Bradley? There was a rainbow that ended up, yeah, right over where Bradley's truck spills oil out in the parking lot all the time. No, there was a rainbow that was going right over the parking lot, and it looked like it ended. From my office, it looked like it ended right at the end of the parking lot. And I will tell you, there's not a pot of gold at the end of that. Amen. I quit believing that when I was about 14, 15, something like that. I don't know. But I will tell you, there's a promise of God signified by the rainbow. Do you believe the Bible tonight? Say amen. So God gave him a sign of the covenant, a sign of the token, a token of the covenant. And he made his promise, and he's going to keep his promise. Now, I want us to, let's see here. Let's go back to verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Okay, now, I want to ask you a question. What land did the Israelites possess when they left Egypt? Canaan's land. Okay? I want you to think about that. So they possessed the land of Canaan. Ham is the father. His son was Canaan. Okay? Now, verse 19. Now, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Now, let's talk. We're going to be talking about racial things here in this part of the chapter, because that is addressed. When you get into chapter 10, you're looking at how the three sons of Noah spread out through the earth. Okay? If Michael were here tonight, then we would have a representative of a different race. I don't know that we have anybody in our church that is Oriental in birth. I know Sterling has got some Indian in him, right? And there is a connection between the Native American peoples. There is a sort of an Oriental. There's an Oriental breed mixed in with that, the Eskimos and so on. But we're going to kind of talk about some things tonight that deal with races. Now, first, let's just say this like it is. Okay, people belong to different groups in this world. Amen. There are even in white, in the white race, there are groups of whites. Okay? There are groups of whites with rednecks. Amen? Okay? There are city whites, there are country whites, there are football whites, and there are baseball whites. I mean, there is just, we have different nationalities, different families. We talk about the Italians. Well, they're white, okay? But people make fun of the Italians, okay? There are Germans. People talk about Germans. Germans have their own idiosyncrasies. They have their own ways of doing things. And to one culture, it looks weird, okay? We live here in this area south of St. Louis. We're not really in the country, but we're not in the city either, because there is a difference. If you go to the city, there's a difference in people up there. If you go down into the country, you go down to where Brother Lonnie's from, you go down where Brother Reg lives, you're in the country, bud. Okay? And that is an entirely different group of people. They have their ways of doing things down there that to us seems, when we went down and went to Brother Reg's church, he kept inviting us over for dinner. And I'm going, well, that'll put us in kind of late for church, won't it? And he said, no. Dinner's at noon. How many of you have ever heard that? When's dinner? 5 o'clock. He said, no, that's supper. I'm going, well, to us, dinner and supper are the same thing. At noon is when we have lunch. Okay? When you go to the school, and at 12 o'clock, when it's time to eat, you don't go to the dinner room. You go to the lunch room. So everybody's different. Okay? We all have different families, different groups, different origins, different traditions, different ways of doing things. Sometimes those differences are based upon our race. Sometimes they're not. But we are all different in that there is differences in how we do things or how we see things or how we approach things. But the truth is, God made one man by the name of Adam. Adam's lineage was passed down to one man by the name of Noah. And to Noah were three sons born. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, ironically, but not a mystery to me, there are three major races of people on the earth. Who can name them by their real name? Three major races of man. Yes, Alicia. Mongoloid, Caucasoid, and Negroid. Okay, that is their classifications, three primary races. When you get into sub-races, you're usually dealing with a mixture of one or two or all three of the, a mixture of one. There's no such thing as a mixture of one. You're dealing with a mixture of two or three races or even a mixture of the sub-races. It's assumed that either Shem, Ham, and Japheth carried the difference in their genetic structure themselves, or the difference in their offspring came from their wives. Okay? So, but in those three, and you can trace it down through the Bible, in those three, you have the generations of Ham, who settled into the Middle Eastern area and Northern Africa. So Ham primarily is the progenitor of the Negroid race. Okay, now, you have Japheth. And the Bible says in Genesis 10 that by him were all the isles of the Gentiles established. And so Japheth is the father of all of the Gentile races. And Shem is the father of guess who? Israel. Because if you ever heard of the word anti-Semitic, the word Semite comes from the word Shem. Okay? That's his name. Shem, in his lineage, had a son by the name of Heber, H-E-B-E-R. Have you ever heard of the word Hebrew before? That is where that comes from. And so the word Semite and the word Hebrew come from the lineage of Shem. Now, let's get away from that right now. Let's move into this particular story here. And I will tell you, as we're reading the story, I'll tell you what I read wrong in this. Okay? And I'll tell you what the Bible says. Noah began, verse 20, Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Now, did Noah just get off the ark and say, I wonder what happens if this grape juice rots? Okay? Probably was a carryover of what he knew before the flood. So he plants a vineyard, he drinks of the wine, and he is drunken. And he is in such a drunken state that he is in his tent. He is completely naked, what that means without clothes on, and he has no knowledge of really what's going on. Okay, he has drunken himself into what we call a stupor. So much, I read, there was a news article came out today that some guy ended up, middle of the night, trying to find his way home, ended up 46 miles from his house trying to get into a house that he thought was his, and he had no pants on. Okay? He was busted up drunk. Okay? Had no knowledge of what he was doing. The real scary part of this is that this man drove 46 miles out of his way on a road somewhere in the middle of the night to get to this place. But anyway, this is Noah. Now, if you want an argument against drinking, here's one of the best ones right here. Drinking does nobody no good. Amen? It does nobody no good. Alcohol as a recreation does not do mankind any good. Well, you know, I like to drink one at night to kind of relax me. Okay? Can I tell you that there is the world's way and there is God's way? You can choose the world's way and the consequences of the world's way, or you can choose God's way and the blessings of God's way. Amen? You want to relax at night? Get your Bible out. Read some Bible. Spend a little time with Jesus, just like we sang a while ago. Have a little talk with Jesus. And having a little talk with Jesus just seems to make it right. Can I hear? And then you're relaxed. Did you know that you laid your head down? I'm like you, I used to feel guilty doing this. I used to go to sleep at night praying to God. And I'd wake up and say, God, I'm sorry for sleeping while I was praying. How many of y'all have done that? Okay? Did you know that it's okay to go to sleep talking to God? That's the best way in the world to go to sleep. Amen? Best way in the world right there. God will relax you. God will cure your soul and remove the problems that plagued you throughout the day. You don't need alcohol. You don't need it. And here's the situation here. Where Noah, and watch this now, they come off the ark. The first thing that Noah does is he makes a sacrifice. But right after that, the old ways are coming out. How many of you recognize that when you got saved? The old ways started coming back. Okay? So he brings over from before the flood something that should have stayed back there. He plants a vineyard. Maybe he's telling himself, you know what? I'm just going to have some raisins. I'm just going to make some grape juice. But all in the back of his mind, he knows that when that vineyard comes in and that harvest comes in, he knows what he's going to do with it. And he makes this wine, and he sits down and drinks the wine that he made, and he drank himself drunk with the wine that he had made. And now he's laying in his tent, and he's laying there completely naked. Now, that was Noah's sin. Here is Ham's sin. Verse 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, there are some scholars who want to say that Ham actually did something with his own father. That's not what the Bible says. See? So I can't assume anything that's not there. Okay? But I will tell you that God, for some reason, and I haven't quite figured it out yet, for some reason, God has always been particular about not seeing your father's nakedness. In the law, you were forbidden to marry. Let's say that your father married a wife that wasn't your mother, and your father died, and here's that widow woman, and she's nice looking. He married a younger gal, and she's a widow, and you're just this man's son, and you think, well, you know what? I'll take her to wife. She's good looking anyway. Daddy picked a good one. Did you know that according to the law, you were not allowed to marry the wife of your father? God specifically said that in doing so, you have uncovered your father's nakedness. He specifically said that. Now, just because I don't understand the Bible doesn't mean that I don't believe the Bible. And I don't know what it is about seeing your father's nakedness, but God said, don't do it. Don't even marry the woman that's been with your dad, because that is the same thing in God's eyes. And God said, don't do it. Okay? So here we have a situation now where Ham goes in and he is in the tent with his father and he is looking upon the naked body of his father. Okay? Then he goes out and he tells Shem and Japheth what he saw. Look at the next verse. And Shem and Japheth, verse 23, took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. Didn't say anything about anything else that they did or didn't do. They acted like the sin that Ham committed was looking upon his father's nakedness. And so Shem and Japheth grab a blanket and they put it over their shoulders and they go backward into the tent. And they figure out, they say, well, here's daddy's feet here. And then they just start draping that blanket over their father's body and covered him up there and let him sleep it off. Okay, that's what they did. They said, you know what? If our just because he does it doesn't mean we're going to have to do it too. Amen? Now, verse 24. Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. We don't know how he knew. We just know that he knew. Okay, kids, your mom and dad will know. Amen? Your mom and dad will always know things about you, all right? Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, I'm going to stop right here. This is where I messed up in my reading of the scriptures, okay? Because, and let me just kind of give you the background, okay? There are people running around this country, okay? They are called various names, white supremacists, militia, skinheads, neo-Nazis, you name it. There are people running around this country who believe that they have a biblical or a righteous reason for hating anybody that's not of their particular race. They believe, and you know, that's the nature with a lot of people. A lot of people will do things and they'll do it in the name of God, which in my opinion, that is taking God's name in vain. If God's not part of it, don't take his name. Amen? But that's what they're doing. And they're saying that God has cursed these, God has cursed all these, God's cursed the Orientals, God's cursed the Mexicans, and God has especially cursed the black man, because that is the lineage of Ham and Cush and Canaan. That is their lineage. That is who they descend from. And they say that God cursed them and made them that color and made them the way they are. And they even go so far to the extent of saying, and I've heard it in churches, church people that said, they have no souls. They're not human. And you would think that all the right-wing fundamentalist Republicans in this country are all racist against black people. Let me tell you who the biggest racist in this country is. Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Barack Obama, and all of that group. And I'll tell you why. They support Planned Parenthood. Does anybody know anything about Planned Parenthood? The number one abortion group in this country is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is standing behind these people, pulling the strings, saying, we need government money. We need a lot of it. And by the way, don't think for a minute that people who run these philanthropic organizations that receive government aid are just in it purely to help people. There is a lot of money. When the government hands out money, it doesn't hand out a little money. It hands out a lot of money. And Planned Parenthood, the people who are running this deal, are in it because there is big bucks involved in it. Does anybody know who started Planned Parenthood? It was a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, was part of a movement in this country and other places in the world called the eugenicist movement. Eugene is where we get the word genetics from. A eugenicist believes that there are good races and there are bad races. There are clean races and there are dirty races. And a pure eugenicist believes that in order for the pure races to survive, the dirty races cannot be allowed to. That is a eugenicist. Hitler was a eugenicist. He believed in the master race. It is a cult in its core. It teaches that there will rise in humanity a superior race of men. Where are we going with that? Daniel chapter 4. They, the fourth kingdom, shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And there is a movement right now called transhumanism. It says that mankind is about ready in his next stage of evolution, but nature is not going to bring about this evolution. Mankind is going to bring himself to this evolution. Genetic scientists are working on how to manipulate DNA. How many of you know that? Have you ever heard, who's in here had a plan with Singular Wireless? You know where Singular Wireless got their name? The word singularity is a, and I just learned this a few months ago, the word singularity is a term that is being used in the techno world of the day when humans finally fuse with electronics. Singular Wireless was part of man, and when you see people like this all the time, we're that close. The more we rely upon electronics, the more we approach a day when man will no longer be human like we are. He will be above that because he will have technology inside of him. That sounds like that science fiction you read back in the 50s, but I'm telling you, they already have, who's heard of nanotechnology? Nanobots. These nanobots are microscopic robots. That the article I read the other day from a scientific website said that these nanobots now have the ability to deliver strands of DNA into your body and target cancer cells and replace the cancer cells' DNA with this other strand of DNA. And the nanobots automatically know where to go to because they're programmed that way. Now you are part man, just like the $6 million man. That's what the singularity refers to. And we are quickly moving as a society and a world to a point where man is going to achieve his own godhood. What does that sound like? Genesis chapter 3. At the core of that is the eugenicist movement that says that the dirty races, they've got way too far to go to ever make it. So Margaret Sanger wrote, and I read several of her books. I mean, this lady is, she admitted it. And she admitted in her books, in her writings, that the Negro race was, should not be allowed to procreate the way they're doing it right now. And this was back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So you know what she did? She started an organization called Planned Parenthood and deliberately put Planned Parenthood offices in areas where Negroes were, so she could get them, her and her organization could get them to stop breeding. And Hillary Clinton, who received the Margaret Sanger Award last year, year before last, comes out in a speech and says, Margaret Sanger was my hero. I'm telling you, the biggest racists in this country are the ones who are feeding the abortion machine in the industry in this country. Those are the biggest racists. Okay? But the racists all say that the blacks, the Mexicans, the Chinese, everybody, they're no good. It's us white people because we like NASCAR. Okay? But it's not just the rednecks. It's all of them. But I will tell you that at the core of that, they believe in their heart that God has cursed Ham. And I didn't believe it in a racist way. I just thought, well, that's right. Then I went back and reread the verse. God did not curse Ham. Noah did. Okay? Have you ever cursed somebody? Be honest. Have you ever cursed at anybody? Okay? You ever flipped anybody off? Does it really mean anything? No, it just feels good, right? Okay? There's a difference between what man curses and what God curses. God didn't curse. Look at this verse. Noah, verse 24, Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him and said, cursed be Canaan. Of servant and servant shall he be unto his brethren. Now, historically, the black man has always been the servant, the slave of the white man. When they founded the New World, both North and South America, and these Europeans were looking for workers to work the plantations in this new land, in these fertile fields, they didn't go to China to get them. They went to Western Africa to get their slaves. And that's where they got them from. Even the prophet, so-called Muhammad, was a slave owner. He owned African slaves. That's who he was. Okay? How the religion of Islam can spread through the black community in this country is just beyond me. Because Allah was the biggest racist prophet that ever walked the earth. Okay? But anyway, but the curse of Noah, and man has always enslaved the black people. Even right now in this country, their enslavement does not come at the hands of the plantation owners. It comes at the hand of people like Jesse Jackson, who is constantly telling black people that things are still bad in this country and that they are under so much this and that and the other, and keeping them on government programs and government this and government that, they are still in bondage. You're free when you earn your own way. Amen? This is not a decry against any black man, Oriental, Mexican, white in this country who does not work and toil and labor and do their best, does not mean anything. I'm just saying to you tonight that slavery still exists. It's more subtle now than it used to be. but it still exists. Okay? But anyway, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. And it's very important to remember. And why is that? Because do I believe that the black man is cursed because he's black? How can I? And even if he is under a curse of Noah, has that curse ever been lifted? Where? At the cross. And by the way, who was it? And God always knows what he's doing. Who was it that as Jesus buckled under the weight of the cross on his way to Calvary, who was it that bore the cross with Jesus to Calvary? His name was Simon of Cyrene. He was an Ethiopian. He was a black man. And they compelled him to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. I think God knew what he was doing. Amen? I think God was showing people a sign. What you curse, I'll bless. Somebody say amen. Because after all, aren't you cursed living in this world today? And God has looked at you and said, what this world has cursed, I will bless. And you know what I would like to see? I would like to see the greatest revival in the entire world ever poured out among mankind and have it poured out amongst the black race in this world. I would love to see that day. Okay? I would love to see that. In fact, let me throw this in. Turn to Isaiah 19. There are differences of races of black men. There are those with different skin color, different facial features, and so on. There's settlements in Africa, northern Africa, and then they descended down. The Egyptian is a descendant of Ham. Okay? The Egyptian is a descendant of Ham. Okay? I talked to Michael about this. I said, does your tribe know its descendancy from? And he told me, I think he said Egypt. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's what he said. Isaiah chapter 19, look at verse 4. And the Egyptians will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord, and their fierce and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to look down at Look at verse 17. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid of himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. And that day shall five is the number for grace. And that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. And that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. You know what it looks like to me? It looks like to me that Egypt turns to God. That's what it looks like here. And a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. And they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors. And he shall send them a Savior. And it's not Barack Obama. And it's not Jesse Jackson. And it's not Al Sharpton. And it's not Louis Farrakhan. It's not any of those guys. Guess who their Savior is going to be? There's only one. And a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it, and the Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. And that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with the Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. God puts them on equal scale. Somebody say amen. The curse that Noah gave is lifted up. Because I will tell you that God always hears the cry of the people that are oppressed. Amen? He always hears the cry of the people that are oppressed. And I kid you not, I would love to see the day. I'd love to be alive to see the day that the greatest revival ever poured out among mankind was poured out to the Negro race in this world. Somebody say amen. I like it.